Well, good morning. Can you turn to your neighbor and greet your neighbor? Good morning. There you go. I trust you guys are keeping warm and sterile, washing your hands, you know, and, you know, keeping safe. I love one of the songs that we sang. There was a phrase there that says, we will not die, right? As believers in Jesus Christ, sons of daughters of God, I was reminded of a thing that I really believe with all my heart, that we are indestructible until God calls us home. Do you believe that? So let me start by encouraging you guys. You know, there are a lot of things that's probably happening around the world and a lot more happening in the future, but remember that we are indestructible until God calls us home. Thank you for welcoming me this morning. Yes, we are from the Philippines. There's a few adjustments that my wife, my daughter, and I had to make coming here. It's a little bit different from the Philippines. And I can think of three things right now. Number one, in the Philippines, we only have two seasons, right? So the hot season and the hotter season. So it's always hot, but sometimes it's hotter, right? Two seasons. And I discovered that here in Canada, particularly in Edmonton, there's also two seasons, but it's not hot and hotter. It's the winter season and the construction season. it's one difference. And then this week, I did my road test, my advanced class 5 road test. And oh man, it almost gave me a heart attack, you know, preparing for that exam. Because in the Philippines, it's different, you know. Like the right of way, right, it's not the same. There, when you're the bigger vehicle, you have the right of way, right? If you're a pedestrian, oh, don't be confident, you know, walking across the street, because you have to check, you know, several times all four-way. If you're a pedestrian, you're always doing a four-way stop, right? And you're yielding to everything because everything's bigger than you, right? So that's another difference. And another difference, I was telling Brad earlier, my wife and I, we were serving in a tribal community as missionaries, and when we would talk about God's word during gatherings such as this, when I talk for less than an hour, they would frown upon you. And they would be like, no, go back there. We walked, you know, miles to come here. We braved through the waves to come here. You're not going to sit down. Keep talking, please. So I promise him that it will be below 2 hours that I would speak this morning. Okay? So hang tight. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just going to talk for 30 minutes, okay? But every time I see a yawning, I add 5 minutes. Is that a deal? So, listen carefully. And back there also, another difference is, when I minister to people, they are predominantly preferred oral learners. So they're not necessarily illiterate. Some of them can read, but a lot of them cannot. But even so, most of them prefer to learn in stories, in drama, in action, not reading. So when we gather like this, we don't say, okay, open your Bibles to this verse and that verse. We're going to like recite scriptures and talk about it together. And so this morning, I'd like to try it out here today. I'd like to assume that you guys are preferred oral learners, okay? And I'm glad you have your Bibles with you. You should have your Bibles with you, but today, we're going to open the Word by hearing it. And we're going to hear someone recite the scripture that I want us to talk about this morning. Is that okay? And I'm going to call my brother and his son, Abraham. If you guys remember, last time we were here, he thanked the Lord because this last month, he almost went to be with the Lord twice. Right? But he's now here. Come up here, brother. And he's going to recite scripture. Now, if you are oral learners, you would have very good retention, right? So by the end of this time, in our talk this morning, I'm expecting you to memorize at least 80% of what Adam, Abraham's son, is going to recite for us. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Ready? Okay, listen carefully, okay?
All right, I'm supposed to recite the verse, but I convinced my son, so he will do it for me. So,
hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And these words that I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, as when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign in your hands, and shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates.
Anyone who would like to recite it back? There's a gray car outside waiting to be repossessed by anyone who would... No, that's his car, so I'm just kidding. Okay, that passage is commonly known as the Shema. If you grew up as a Jew, you would have memorized it since you were young. In fact, when they are young, the Jews would teach their children whole books, scripture, memorizing them. Right, and so this is the passage that they normally call the Shema. Shema, because Shema is the first Hebrew word in this passage, and for the Jews, this passage is very important. You remember, one time Jesus was asked, "Lord, what is the greatest commandment?" And it is this passage that Jesus quoted and recited. So I'm going to recite it again. And this time, I'm going to do it with action to help you guys. I know you're not oral learners, but I'm going to help you memorize this by doing an action. But then after this, I'm going to do the action and you guys recite it with me. Is that a deal? All right, let's do it. Starts with the first word. What's the first word? Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. All right, let's recite it together, guys, okay? You can do this. These are the times when we quote scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay? Do you think God wants you to put this scripture in your heart? I believe so. All right? And I think that, you know, if you want it, God is going to empower you. God is going to help you. Okay? Let's do it. Shall be on your heart. You shall to your and shall when you you shall asa on your and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall on the of your and on your. Wow, you guys are awesome. Woo! Like Sunday school, eh? But you know, when we disciple people in the rural areas in the Philippines, you know, the priority is for them to memorize scripture. Right? They memorize scripture. In fact, you know, if that's the only thing that I accomplish when I teach them, that's enough. Because when you put scripture in your head, God is continually going to talk to you through that scripture. In fact, we are commanded to meditate on God's word when? Every Sunday, no? Every day, not even? Joshua 1:8 says, day and night. You're supposed to be meditating scripture day and night. And you cannot do that unless you put that here and here. Right? And so, you know, I hope you guys appreciate what we're doing. I'm done. There are several commands in that passage. Did you realize? Yeah. There are several commands in that passage. Who counted? How many do you think? Five. More or less? What do you think? I think more. The first command being here. That's good. The word here is in the imperative mood, meaning it's a command, here. And if you grew up like me, when your parents say, listen, right? It's not just hearing, but it's actually, when you listen, when you hear something, it's understanding it and doing it, applying it. That's the very same thing that's being talked about in this passage. When you are commanded to hear, right? What is being said is, okay, understand this, listen to this, make this a part of your life, do it, obey it. And that's precisely what we want to do this morning. We're going to try to unpack this passage, but at the same time, at the end, we want to know, okay, how are we going to actually obey this passage? And that's very important. We're going to listen, and we're going to understand it, and we're going to make appropriate changes in our lives. Because that's what being a disciple of Jesus is all about. Being a disciple of Jesus is not about hearing the commands of Jesus. Do you remember the Great Commission in Matthew 28? Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and listen to this. Teach them what? Teach them to obey. Teach them to observe everything I have commanded you. The mistake that we are doing many times is we are accumulating knowledge. We're trying to discover what God's word says, what Jesus says, what God says, but we fail to appropriate it in our lives. The word here, Shema, in this passage is very important because it is not commanding us to merely listen with our ears, but to really reflect and to change our lives, the way we live. Discipleship is hearing and doing what God says. And the main command in this passage, I think you would agree, is to love the Lord our God with what? With all our hearts, with all our soul, and with all our might. That is the Hebrew way of saying with all of you, with everything that you are, with everything that you have, you love God with everything. But that's not the only command here. In fact, loving God in this passage is not the main point I submit to you this morning. It's not the main point of this passage. Because there's several more commands in this passage. The next one being, and these words that I command you today, what do? It shall be on your heart. Right? And what's the next thing? You shall teach them diligently. Especially hard to teach your children, right? But you teach them diligently to your children. Now, before we continue, in this passage, what are you supposed to teach your children? Right? It is not God's love that is being talked about here, right? And I think it's not even about loving God. You're not supposed, I don't think that the passage is teaching us, is telling us to teach our children to love God. I think that this passage is teaching us first to love God, right? and to tell our children about our love for God. Do you know why I think so? Because I don't think you can force anyone to love anyone. Right? Loving someone requires that he does that voluntarily, on his own free will. You cannot, parents, you cannot force your children to love God. You can model it, which I think is, you know, what is being commanded here. Make sure that your children know that you love God. Is this making sense? So you shall teach this diligently to your children, but he didn't stop there. He said, you shall talk about it. What are you supposed to talk about? Your love for God. You shall talk about it when? When you sit in your house and when you walk by the way. That's the Hebrew way of saying everywhere. Because back then you're either inside the house or outside the house. Everywhere, right? Where do you talk about your love for God? Everywhere. But he didn't stop there. He says, when you lie down, which is the first part of their day, you know, the evening, the Jewish day starts in the evening, right? When you lie down and when you rise. So when are you supposed to talk about your love for God? That's the Hebrew way of saying all the time. You talk about your love for God everywhere, in all places, at all times. But he didn't stop there. He says, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. Okay? Look at your hands right now. What's usually around your hands, your wrists, your fingers, right? Rings, watches, right? Things that are supposed to be a constant reminder for you. If you're married, you're wearing your ring because you never want to forget that you're married. And you have your watches to, you know, remind you what time it is. It serves as a reminder for you. So I think what God wants us to do here is to make sure that in everything that we do, we are reminded that we are doing that out of our love for God. Did you know that? Did you know that everything that we're doing in life is supposed to be an act of worship? That we don't worship God only when we gather together once a week or twice a week. We don't worship God only when we sing songs or pray to Him. No, we worship God with everything that we do. When you go to work, that's a place of worship for you. The great mistake is to dichotomize life. Okay, Sunday is God's day. The rest, my day. My money, 10%, God's money. 90%, I do everything I want with it. No. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you are God's child, everything now belongs to Him. Your time, your resources, nothing belongs to you anymore because you are His. And I love that because I'm not the best manager of all these resources. He is. He is in control. And we worship God in everything that we do. Bind them around your hand. But he didn't stop there. He says, and they shall be as... Now, this is something that we probably don't understand, right? They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Now, if you would go to Jerusalem, you would see probably Orthodox Jews who would have something here, a leather box that's strapped around containing scripture. They're doing it literally. And I just wonder... If you go to work tomorrow with something here, what's going to happen? Right? What's going to happen? Well, number one, people are going to notice. Some of them are going to ask. And you would have to what? You would have to tell them, what is that? Oh, this is, you know, because I love God. Are you getting the point? So this passage is not all about just loving God with everything that you have. This passage is talking about something more specific. And later I'm going to ask you what it is. But let's continue. He says, you shall write them where? On the doorposts of your house. So who's going to see that? If something's written on the doorposts of your house, who will be able to read that? People who come to your house, guests, who else? Neighbors, your family, right? Friends, relatives, people that you know, they're going to know what? That you love God. That you're a lover of God, right? But he didn't stop there. The last thing he says is, you shall also write them on your gates. Now, here in Canada, you don't have gates, right? In the Philippines, that's our second boundary, right? So, just to an added prevention, protection for our houses. Here, I notice you can leave your bicycles, everything outside, you know? But there, you know, in other places, you cannot do that. And you know, in this context we're talking about, there are gates that's supposed to mark the boundary of your property, right? But the question is this: who's going to see the things that are written on the gate? Even strangers. People who come close to you, you don't know them, they don't know you, but they come close to you, what are they going to know? That a lover of God lives here. So I ask you this question: what is the point of the Shema passage? Mm-hmm. There you go. I love that. Right? In other words, it's written in your programs. You're supposed to love God out loud. Oh, is that written in your programs actually? Loving out loud. Say it with me: love out loud. If you're a millennial, you know LOL, but it's not love out loud. But today, I'm giving LOL a new meaning, right? Love out loud. Now, to be clear, Pastor, are you saying that no one around me should miss the fact that I am a lover of God? No, that is not what I'm saying. Just to be clear, that is what God is saying. That's what God is saying. Now, guys, let's reflect now. Do people around you know that you're a Christian? 20% of them, 80% of them, 90% of them. But I reckon here in this place, it's actually easy to be associated with a church or a Christian group. And so I think the more important question is, do people around you, everyone around you, do they know that you really love God? They're not supposed to be different questions, no? But, you know, in reality, right now, in this context, they are different questions. Yeah. It's easy to be associated, to be known as a Christian. And it's another thing, completely, sometimes, entirely another thing, for people to know that you really love God, that you prioritize Him, that you're in love with Him, that you know He loves you, that you appreciate His grace, you sing about it. Do people know that you love God? Because, and we're not only talking about family, relatives, friends. We're talking about people that you come in contact with during the day. Right? Strangers. When you meet someone, according to this passage, God wants you to give it a little intention to make it known that you love God. Right? Are you getting that? Now, here, the most common like greeting is, how are you? Right? How are you doing? Right? When people ask you, how are you, what do you usually respond with? Good. You? Good. Bye. Have a good one. Right? Am I correct? That's what I observed, right? Now, think with me. You made that connection with that person. Probably you know him or not, but you had a conversation. He asked you, how are you? You told him, I'm okay. You asked him how he is. He told you he's okay. And then you separated. Question. Did that person discover that you love God? No. No. So we need to change something.
You have to tell them.
I don't know. Is that what God's word is telling us to do? I think so. And so, before I continue, I'm going to give you a minute or two to think. Okay? I want you to think of a conversation tomorrow with someone, either a Christian or not, a person you know or not, a stranger or a friend, that you're going to be talking to. Right? And he's going to ask you, hey, how was your weekend? Okay? I want you now to think of a response, right? A one-sentence response. Not a response that's going to require you to give, to pass an offering plate or something, right? But a short, brief response that you can say, right? That would at least give that person a clue that you are a lover of God. Okay? So think right now. On your own. Prayerfully think, okay? Imagine someone's asking you, how are you? How are you doing, my friend? Okay? And I'm saying, think, okay? Because I'm going to ask you in 2 minutes. Right? I'm going to ask you, I'm going to say, Brad, how are you? And I want you to give me your response. And we're going to call this your Shema response. Okay? A response that's going to at least give a clue that you are a lover of God. Okay, you guys ready? Who has an idea? Okay, Sister Jennifer, yeah. How are you? Pretty straightforward. Thank you for sharing. Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Brother, how are you?
You know, this week has actually been really tough, but I've learned that God, no matter what, will like stand like in front of whatever may face me, and you know, after all that's happened, I have strong and good faith that I'm going to be okay because I know that God loves me and I love Him.
I love that. That's a 10-second testimony, right? Work on that. Make it briefer, maybe. But you know, one thing that you can do is, you know, it's been tough, but you know what? You ask that. You know what? Then he would ask what? Then you have the right to go on. And then you say, since you ask, you know, so now it's his fault, right? Okay, that's good. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, Brad, your turn. How are you, brother?
I'm good. I was reminded with my family on Sunday morning that in spite of all my failures, I'm still accepted by Jesus.
Wow. I love that. That's like grace, you know, in common language. Okay, what else? You can be very creative, right? Okay, ma'am, how are you? Okay. How was your weekend?
Fantastic. I'm learning to love God more and more.
Okay. Wow. Anyone else? How was your weekend? Wow. Okay. See, that's like less than 2 seconds, right? You can tell it to everyone, right? Okay. Sir, how are you? How was your weekend, sir?
I'm feeling very thankful. My family's home safe and sound, and just very thankful for that. So.
Okay. I love that. Okay. Anyone else? How was your weekend, ma'am?
It was awesome.
It was. Wow. See, guys, I mean, not only to, you know, testifying about God, but you're actually reminding yourself also of who you are. It's good to be reminded of who you are. You are a person that is loved completely by God, and we are in love with Him. And sometimes there are days that we don't feel it, but when we remind ourselves, it helps us. Right? It reminds us. We live up to it. That's why this morning when people were asking me, how are you? You remember my response, Brad? I'm doing better than I deserve. Right? And that's the, you know, that's an English way of describing, defining grace. Right? I'm a recipient of grace. And I found it that when I use that response, some people would ask you, why do you think that way? And then that's my chance. Right? So this morning actually, this is training. Right? We're training to live out the faith. And it goes with your theme. You know, we want to be deeper in our relationship with God. We want to be closer together as a community. And we want to be what? We want to be bold. You know, sometimes the mistake is thinking and being pressured, being stressed about not being able to convert someone to Christianity. Do you realize, guys, that's never our job to convert anyone. Our job is to testify and to be faithful witnesses to what we have received. And we do that by loving God out loud. We make sure the people around us, they know, oh, this person. The thing about this person is that he or she really loves his or her God. And you know what's going to happen, guys? What's going to happen is that as you live out intentionally, God is going to draw people to you. People that He's been preparing in advance and who's just waiting for a person like you who's able to explain to him who God is. Because that's what God is doing. There are people already, I mean, last time I was here, is it time already? I'm good. No yawning yet, but I'm good. Okay. Last time I was here, I started to talk about the state of Christianity according to some statistics recently. Right? Do you remember? That in 1995, there were 12% of the population in Canada, 12% of the population in Canada admits to or associates himself to evangelical Christianity. You know, Bible believing, grace, faith believing people, they go to church regularly, 12%. 20 years later, 2015, that number, 12%, went down to 9%. It's in decline. Right? So if you think about it, people come to here, to this place, with faith, but then eventually they lose it. Or their children lose it. Right? But here's the thing. The last 5 years, 2015, which is 9%, to 2020, today, it's down to 6%. 6%. But that's enough people to turn this place around. Because we are supposed to be a people empowered by the Spirit of God, equipped by the Word of God. But guys, we have to live intentionally. We have to maximize and seize every opportunity that God gives us. You cannot afford to relax. You are here, and you are a missionary here. You realize? We are missionaries. We are ambassadors. We are you are a spokesperson. You are God's mouthpiece. In fact, the Bible says you are God's masterpiece. You are supposed to be a demonstration of God's grace and mercy and kindness and love and goodness and everything that He is. What a noble purpose we have. So next time you go to work and step into your office, remind yourself that is a place of worship. Yeah. It's where you and God are working together in partnership to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. And it's coming soon. The Bible says, and the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Do you guys realize, here in Canada, the Lord has brought the nations here. We are living in a very strategic place, and we cannot afford to relax. We have a higher purpose for being here. Not just to have work, not just to accumulate resources and funds and to achieve the Canadian dream. No, we are here as missionaries. And I want to go back to my first encouragement. You are indestructible until God calls you home. Let's just continue to serve Him, to love Him, to make known the glorious gospel of Jesus. Thinking nothing about, you know, whatever. Just do it. Be intentional. Love God and make it known. Now, I will close, I promise. The reason why sometimes it's hard to love out loud is because the prerequisite to loving out loud is really loving Him. It's very obvious. Sometimes we fail to really make it known that we are lovers of God because sometimes also we have to remind ourselves, we have to cultivate that love relationship with God. Are you doing that right now? Are you spending time, intentional time with God? Are you cultivating a heart for God? Because we're not going to have a heart for missions, we're not going to have a heart for the nations, unless we have a heart for Jesus. Unless every day you are reminded of the depths, the riches of His love, of His grace, of what He did for you and me. You were once lost completely, utterly, hopeless, helpless. But God saved us all by His grace, completely by Him. We had nothing to do with it, but only Him. So, for 1 minute, before we close, I want us to practice, okay? So grab your partner. You're going to ask your neighbor, how are you, or how was your weekend? And you're going to give your partner your Shema greeting, Shema statement, okay? Let's do that. 1 minute. The younger will start asking, okay? The younger of you will start asking. Grab a partner. Ask, how are you? Let's do this. Okay, but don't pray to receive Christ now, okay? just practice the first part and then let God guide you. Okay, guys, let's recite the passage again together. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. God, we thank you for this wonderful time together around your word. it's a great privilege, the greatest privilege, to be in communion with you. Thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for being with us. And thank you, Lord, for reminding us of who we are. We are a people, recipients of your love. And the only reason that we can love you is because you have loved us first. And we pray, Lord, that as we go out this week, we would go out as your ambassadors. That we would live out the faith. We would be missionaries. Because you are bringing the nations to yourselves. Oh, may the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.